Glory to God. Katrina asked me a question last week. It's a good question. She said, how can you tell the difference between someone's confidence in who they are in Christ and arrogance? How can you tell the difference between someone's confidence in who they are in Christ and arrogance? And I mean, there's probably several different ways you could answer that question. And early on, as we were just worshipping, I went back to look at how David presented himself before Goliath. And really, I'm sure there was people in the crowd that day that thought, what an arrogant little so-and-so.
Yeah.
But really, what he was expressing was a boldness of the Spirit, a boldness of faith. And I believe, see, boldness, there is a boldness of the Spirit that some people can sometimes misinterpret as arrogance. But I believe the key is boldness is of the Spirit. Arrogance is of the soul. And you need to discern it spiritually, basically, to be able to tell the difference sometimes, because they're quite a fine line sometimes. But anyway, but the reality is nobody likes to encounter someone who has an overconfident attitude in regard to their own abilities. Mm-hmm. And usually that's perceived as arrogance, and it's not really one of the most becoming or one of the most attractive of qualities. Who can say amen to that? And so I'm not entirely sure how I got from there to the title of this message tonight, or what I'm going to speak about tonight, because the title of this message tonight is Eternal Insecurity. Who knows, for years the debate has continued in the church over the doctrine of eternal security, or once saved, always saved. In Calvinism, it's the final point in the TULIP acronym, it's term Perseverance of the Saints, it's the doctrine of eternal security. But you'd be glad to hear, at least some of you might be, that I'm not here to promote my take on any of these things. So, but I was going to initially title this message God's Insecurity. Not because I've got some heretical belief that God is a problem with insecurity, but the reality is he knows that we do. Mm-hmm. He knows that we do. Anyone here tonight, I think they call it transparency these days, don't they? Anyone here today willing to admit that they struggle or have struggled with insecurity? I know I have, and I know I still do. Thanks for being transparent. Amen. And see, the good news is that, as with all negative emotions that we face, help has been provided.
That's right.
God knows, our Heavenly Father knows that we struggle with insecurity. And insecurity can be defined as a lack of confidence. It can manifest as a lack of confidence, self-doubt, unassertiveness, timidity, uncertainty, nervousness, anxiety. I mean, even within there, I mean, you can, scriptures instantly come to mind. You know, God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus said, be anxious for nothing. And who knows that insecurity also has a first cousin called inferiority. And together, they can create what's called an inferiority complex. And an inferiority complex is defined as a feeling of intense insecurity, inferiority, or of not measuring up. And sometimes, you know, the inferiority complex can be seen as like comparing individuals or groups, looking at someone else, for example, and seeing them as being better than you are at whatever. And all of a sudden you feel inferior, you feel like you don't measure up. Within a group setting, you might think that everybody's better than you are. And it can, you know that, who knows what I'm talking about? But really, I believe that it more closely describes how one deals with the fear of failure. If you think about it, in fear, you already. In fear, you already. It's really, it's just a manifestation of fear. And we're not supposed to have any fear anymore. And in Judges chapter 6 verse 15, there's a good example here of someone who's struggling with this kind of stuff. And it says, but Lord Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. Who knows, that's insecurity and inferiority talking. In verse 16, the Lord replies and says to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. And for me, that perfectly describes God's in security. I will be with you, and you will destroy. Where, you see, not trusting in ourselves or any security that we can provide to protect ourselves, but it's trusting in the Lord and the security He provides. So, we're talking tonight about eternal in security. Eternal in security. Trusting in the Lord and in the security He provides. The Lord says, I will be with you. This is a reason that you will be able to do what I said you will do, because I will be with you. You know, sometimes when we encounter insecurity or inferiority in ourselves or in others, we try and talk ourselves, you know, or them out of. As I was thinking about this yesterday, I was thinking, you know, actually, that these feelings of insecurity or inferiority, they can sometimes be a fairly accurate appraisal of how things actually are. I mean, what Gideon said wasn't wrong. It was actually a fairly accurate appraisal of how things were. Mm-hmm. And it manifested in him as insecurity and as inferiority. In fact, we sang it in one of the songs tonight. I thought, well, praise the Lord, we're in the Spirit again. And because, you know, God doesn't say, let those who through insecurity and inferiority see themselves as weak, but who are actually strong say, I am strong. He says, let the weak say, I am strong. That's what he says. It's an accurate appraisal of how we are in and of ourselves. We're weak. In other words, let those who acknowledge the reality of how weak they are in and of themselves say, I am strong because God is with me. Like Paul said, I can do all things because I'm such a dude. No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He also said in the context of facing every kind of difficulty you can imagine for Christ's sake, he said, when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty well aware personally of my own shortcomings and my own lack of ability. And you know, and I can express these things. And as I do that, you, out of the goodness of your heart, and with all the best intentions, can try to encourage me away from my own negative personal estimations. Or you can even attempt to flatter me out of them. And I've had some of that. But that's not the good news of the kingdom. You trying to talk me out of how I see myself is not the good news of the kingdom. You try to tell me, oh no, that's not the way it is. You're not that bad, you're not that weak, you're not that useless at preaching, you're not that, you know, all these different things that insecurity or inferiority might manifest themselves in my own personal estimation of who I am and what I'm able to do. Who knows what I'm talking about this? Yeah. You trying to give me a pep talk is not the good news of the kingdom. That's just humanistic psychobabble. That's all that is. Now sometimes it gets dressed up as the good news of the kingdom, but it ain't. Even if it puts on its Sunday best, it's nothing more than humanistic psychobabble. That's why it doesn't usually take you further on the street. Or 4 o'clock in the morning. When you wake up and the old stuff's back again. I mean, by 8 o'clock, you're back. Mashiach, you know, here I am. Pretend. Face back on, you know, how wonderful, yes, praise God. But there is good news. As I said, help is available, because God knows that these things are realities in our lives, really for one reason, we'll touch on that in a minute. But you see, basically, in fact, some people respond to that humanistic psychobabble. In fact, if I respond to you attempting to reform my deflated opinions of myself, then I'll probably end up in arrogance. Because what you're doing is you're bringing a soulish response to a soulish problem, and it's going to end up with more soulishness. And so if I try and act out what you're trying to input into me from a soulish, in a soulish way, then it'll be arrogance that'll come out. And who knows, arrogance always switches more people off than on. And we're here to switch them on, not switch them off. You see, basically, insecurity and inferiority are symptoms of a problem with identity. Insecurity and inferiority are symptoms of a problem with identity. See, just like Gideon, I know my background, I know my history, I know my track record. Just like you do, your own. I know exactly the kind of person I have been. I know the kind of person I can be. I know the things I don't want you to know about me. Yeah. I know all the things that I don't want you to know about me and what I've done. And don't look at me as if you're any different. There's some things in here you don't want me to know about you, and there's some things you don't want to know about me. So there's only one solution to my problem, and there's only one solution to your problem, and there's only one solution to our problem, and that's a new identity. Yeah. A brand new start. Amen. Not just a fresh opportunity to be myself all over again. Not just a reboot of who I was and who I am. But a new identity, and the new identity is with God. You know what I'm talking about? It's not just about turning over the page or a fresh start, none of that stuff. It's a new identity with God.
Yeah.
Because it's with God that makes all the difference. It's with God that's going to deal with all of my problems with insecurity and inferiority. Basically, I need to enter the Kingdom of Heaven's Witness Protection Program. You notice when you enter the Witness Protection Program, they give you a brand new identity, brand new start, everything's just like... Because it's not about trusting in ourselves. It's not about trusting in any kind of security that we can provide to protect ourselves. But it's trusting in the Lord and the security He provides. It takes a lot of faith for people to enter into a witness protection program. That they're really going to be protected, that they're really going to be get that brand new start that they've been told they've been given. And we don't have to worry about that. Hallelujah. We don't have to be anxious in any way, because when we enter into heaven's witness protection program, we're guaranteed that protection is going to be 100% secure. Hallelujah. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 in the New Living Translation, it says, trust in, say in. What we're talking about tonight, eternal in security. God's in security. God has provided security in Him. Trust in the Lord. Recognize our new identity is in Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. If we're born again, we have a new identity. We are in Christ. And in Corinthians it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. He's a brand new creation. We're not just a better, we're not just a new and improved version of who we were before. We are a new creation. A brand new creation that is joined to the Lord and living by His grace, by His strength, and by His ability. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in. Say in. Mm-hmm. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So if you ever hear me say something really clever, or if you ever see me do something really commendable, I can't take the credit. I can't take the credit. I have to give the glory to the one whose life is in me. It's a very subtle, because it doesn't always come out this way, and not even in the stuff that's kind of crept into the church, you know. There's no room for arrogance when you know that in and of yourself you are weak and much more prone to failure than success. There's no room for arrogance anymore. And I've been involved in different things over the years in the past, different church situations, and I saw things really go badly wrong in some situations where really things were looking pretty good for a season. And I asked the Lord many years ago, I said, Lord, what happened? What was the root of the problem? And he showed me the root of the problem was insecurity in the lives of leaders. Insecurity and inferiority in the lives of leaders. And that's why it's important that we recognise these things and we also recognise there's help available. Yeah. See, there's no room for insecurity or inferiority in our new identity simply because we're no longer trusting in our own gifts, our own talents and our own abilities. Yeah. You know, it's actually sometimes a wee bit more of good old-fashioned and perfectly scriptural humility wouldn't go amiss. In the church. Amen. And then we might see what the scripture promises when it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt. Who will exalt you? He will. So then we might see more of the exaltation by association. That is the result of God being glorified in us. And through us. Go back and read how David presented himself to Goliath. He wasn't come out and saying, I'm the man, I'm here to sort you out. No, I'm here in the name of the one who you're opposing. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that's going to make sure that today your head is the one that comes off. And after this is over, I might just go back and look after my father's sheep. And I'm not going to live under the weight of what my brother said to me when he said, have you left your few sheep? You know what that was aiming to do, don't you? Stir up insecurity, inferiority, latch itself onto these things. Who knows if anyone should have been insecure, if anyone should have suffered from inferiority, it should have been Jesus. He was rejected. He was treated with contempt. He was falsely accused. He had his background and even his parentage was questioned. In fact, even his name, Jesus of Nazareth, I mean, what was it? What was it? Nathaniel said? Philip? Yeah. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So, I mean, Jesus of Nazareth wasn't exactly the most prestigious title you could have. It wasn't like the Duke of Edinburgh or something like that, or the Prince of Wales. It was Jesus of Nazareth didn't come close. It's a wee bit like Dodge from Dalmeg or something, you know. That probably was even better. But Jesus was completely secure in his identity. Because everything that he said and everything that he did as Jesus of Nazareth, he did in submission to his Father's will and by his Father's ability. John chapter 5 verse 30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, he knew that every time he was rejected, it wasn't him that was being rejected, it was his Father that was being rejected. Amen. I can of myself do nothing. He said, as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So if Jesus could do nothing of himself, then how do we think that we can, or how are we ever supposed to be able to do anything of ourselves? You see, it's when we start to think of how much we can't do, or what we cannot be in and of ourselves, that's when we fall foul of insecurity and inferiority. If you start sitting there going, well, I couldn't do that, I could never do that, or I could never be this, or I could never be that, that's when insecurity and inferiority come in. We don't ever have to be troubled by that stuff. Mm-hmm. And if we do find ourselves there, then it needn't be a bad thing if it points us back to our need to come back into right relationship with our Heavenly Father and recognize of myself I can do nothing, but hey, in Christ, through Christ, I can do all things. I don't need to find a smart answer in and of myself. I just need to hear what he's saying and pass it on. I don't need to do what everybody else is telling me I need to do. I need to do what he tells me I need to do. I don't need to race down to Lazarus' house because that's everybody's expectation, because Lazarus is sick and I love him and he's my pal and he's my friend and I love his sister. I don't need to go there because everybody else thinks I should be there. I need to stay where I am until my Father tells me to go. Unless I want to feed my insecurity and my inferiority. Good morning. I tell you, insecurity and inferiority, they're not always a bad thing if they point us in the right direction.
That's right.
Because very often, as I said, as I was thinking about this yesterday, I was sitting at my desk in my study, I thought, you know, some of that stuff is really the truth. Really. But thank God for a new identity in Christ. A new identity with God. Through whose strength and whose and ability by the Holy Spirit we can do all things. Whatever he asks us to do, he gives us the power to get it done. Whatever he asks us to go, whatever he asks us to speak, whatever he asks us to say, he gives us the power to say it and to do it and to be it. Amen?
Yeah.
God said to Gideon, he says, I will be with you and you will destroy the enemy. Why? Because I'm with you. You'll destroy the enemy, but you'll destroy the enemy because I will be with you.
Yeah.
And with God, nothing shall be impossible. See, God anointed, it says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who basically was the carpenter's son from the second-rate provincial backwater of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, so he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. And then it tells us, because God was with him. Started with God, and it finished with God. And it says the Son of God was manifested to destroy, the Son of Man was, and the Son of God, he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. When the Father sent him from heaven, he said, you will destroy the works of the devil because I will be with you. I will be with you and you will destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Everywhere you go, you'll destroy the works of the devil because I will be with you. And he could do it because God was with him. Amen. See, man, none of us were ever supposed to function independently of a relationship with God. We were created to function in relationship with him. Amen. We are on the earth. He's in heaven. We were supposed to live in alignment with his will and purpose from heaven, manifesting it in the earth. That's why Jesus said this is how to get things back on target again, is to pray this prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Boom. I'm here to do your will. I'm here to do your will. I'm here so that your will can be manifested in the earth. Hallelujah. All thoughts and feelings of insecurity and inferiority, I believe, arise out of a break in that relationship. And so that can only be fixed by restoring that relationship. See, I believe when you hear or when you see arrogance in a person, it's often just a pretty poor attempt to cover up that they're just as affected by insecurity or inferiority as the next person, if not more so.
Yeah.
Some of the most arrogant people I have known have turned out to be those who were the most affected by insecurity and inferiority. In the church, I'm talking about, never mind in the world. But the good news is that our Heavenly Father has provided the solution, and that is his insecurity. You hear what I'm saying tonight?
Yeah.
Eternal insecurity. The bottom line. What's that up together? We're done. Really? All you clock watchers. I won't mention any names. Hallelujah. I thought we were done. We're not really done yet. It's good to stand up. The bottom line is this, folks. Don't allow feelings of insecurity or inferiority that are very often, as I said before, nothing more or nothing less than the result of an honest evaluation of who we are in and of ourselves. So don't ever let these things prevent us from being everything that our Heavenly Father has made possible as a new creation in Christ. Because I believe it's our feelings of insecurity and inferiority that actually drive us to try and be better than everyone else. I don't know about you, but I've never been the best at anything. You know, some people, they appear to be the best at something, you know. I've been good at some things, but I've never been the best at anything. And if you allow it, that can create an insecurity and an inferiority in you. And it's that stuff that then drives you to try and be better than somebody else or better than everybody else. And it just knocks everything out of sync with God's plan and purpose. You see, Jesus was so insecure. Jesus was so secure in his identity that he was actually willing to become of no reputation. He was willing to live in relative obscurity. He was willing to shun publicity.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
He was willing to resist celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
He did all of these things because he was so secure in his identity. And he knew that if he accepted any of these things, that they would compromise his security and his identity. As the one who did nothing except he heard the Father say it, or did nothing except he saw the Father do it.
Yeah.
So you come on, insecurity and inferiority, they grasp at these things, they go after these things, but I tell you that they'll get in the way. He was actually willing to walk away from the opportunity to be crowned and proclaimed an earthly king.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah.
And let me just say this since we're all standing, because it's hard to go anywhere unless you're standing, isn't it? First of all. If you think your identity is in your ministry or some possession, then you will be plagued by insecurity and inferiority.
Right.
If you ever begin to think that your identity is in your ministry or possession, then you will be plagued by insecurity and inferiority. But if you rest in the truth that your identity is in Christ, as a child of God, you will be completely secure. Who knows, Paul said that he had learned to be content in whatever conditions he found himself. That was whether he was popular or unpopular. Amen. Whether he was welcomed or rejected.
Yeah.
Whether he was celebrated, because he was in some places, or ridiculed, as he was in other places.
Mm-hmm.
And persecuted. Whether he was recognized or whether he was ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Whether he was valued or whether he was vilified. It didn't matter to him. He said, I've learned in whatever conditions I find myself to be content.
Mm-hmm.
And to recognize that if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, that all things are subject to change, because there's an exaltation that comes by association.
Yeah.
You see, he had a powerful revelation, and we're nearly done. I did say that, didn't I? Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, New Living Translation. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And so through Christ and with God, there is nothing that you cannot do that he says you can do. Because you have eternal insecurity, or should I say eternal security in Christ. For all you once saved, always saved doubters. Sorry, I couldn't resist that. Hallelujah. And we're going to do a follow-up of this because time is gone. But praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I just thank you that we have in security. That we have complete and total security in our new identity in Christ. That our identity is with God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that our real life is hidden with Christ in God. And we don't ever have to be plagued ever again by insecurity or inferiority. Lord, we can recognize them for what they often just very really are, truly are, just an honest evaluation of what we would be in and of ourselves, of what we are in and of ourselves. But I thank you, Lord, that you haven't asked us to do anything out of our own resources. But Lord, everything you ask us to do, you make the power available. Thank you for your amazing grace. Thank you for your incredible, amazing grace. Your ability to get everything done, to do everything and to be everything that you have declared us to be and that you have destined for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That makes sense to anybody? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you.